This week's parasha, parasha's Bahar Ruchukaisai. We have in Kapitel Chof Hei, Pasuk Yedayin, the Pasuk says, V'loiseinu ish es hamisei, V'yereisem elekecha, ki ani Hashem elekechem. Rashi says, V'loiseinu ish es hamisei, kan hizir al inoiz devorim. The Torah is warning us about inoiz devorim. You should not say things, words. You should not use words that will hurt someone, or your friend. You should not give your friend an idea, an etzah teiva, that's not an etzah teiva. Say, I have a suggestion for you, I think you should do this, but it's not good for him. Something that's not good for him might be good for you. You tell him to do something that's good for you and not good for him, that's something that you shouldn't do. And Rashi says, and how do we know? A person tells someone else an idea, maybe he means it, you know. That's where the pasuk ends. You should fear God. So the pasuk comes to tell us, you should know that don't think you're going to fool the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael knows everyone's thoughts and what's in everyone's heart. And therefore the pasuk says, now the question is, we know that we talk about Shemitah in the parashas Bahar. The question is, what is the connection between the mitzvah of Shemitah and this mitzvah of Loisein Rishas Amisa? Right before in the beginning of parashas Bahar, we have Sheshan Tezazadecha, Sheshan Tezmerkamecha, Sata Tuasa, and tell us all about Shemitah. So what is the connection between Shemitah, that on the seventh year we have to leave our fields fallow, and the mitzvah of that, the command of not speaking harshly to your friend that's going to hurt him, and not to give him an advice that's not really good for him? The Kilas Yitzchak says on the pasuk Lamed Hey, he says, "V'chi amach achicha umat hayada imach v'hazakta boy ger v'seishav v'chay imach." So if someone has his friend, he's in not a good situation, you should make him stronger. So the Kilas Yitzchak says that there are two types of people. There are people that are very rich, very, very wealthy people, but they're constantly worrying about money. They're loaded. But they're worried. They're worried what happens if they lose some of their money, what about their children, what about their grandchildren. They're always worried about money. They have tons of it in the bank, they have tons of it to do whatever they want, but they're just worried about money. And then you have people who don't have much money, but they're not worried about it. They rely on the Bnei Shalom, whatever the Bnei Shalom will bring, they'll have. They don't worry about it. He says, there are people that they make this cheshbon. Someone comes and knocks on the door, you have a wealthy fellow, and he worries every day about his money and his kids' money and his grandkids' money. And then all of a sudden someone knocks on the door. And he opens the door. And he says, "Hi, I'm collecting. I need money." He says, "You need money? You're coming to collect with me? You don't have a moon in your Bnei Yisrael? God's going to provide for you. What do you want from me? You should have a munah, chazak ve'mat. You should be strong and go and daven to your Bnei Yisrael, and he's going to give you money." He says that that's called a misplaced emunah. When it says v'achazakta, it means that a person, what does it mean a person has to have emunah? It means for yourself, for each individual, I have emunah and the Bnei Yisrael is going to provide for me. I don't have to worry about it. But on Yenim's cheshbon, on someone else's cheshbon, you're never supposed to make that cheshbon. You're not supposed to say, no, that you have emunah. If he needs help, you help him. That's it. You don't want to make this cheshbon for him. I saw Maisa, there was two people in the town, Reuven and Shimon. They lived across the town, and they both, it happened at the same time, they got a big Yerusha, lots of money, lots of gold. So they wanted to put it away. Reuven was a very worried type person. He worried about everything. He worried someone's going to see, someone's going to steal something. He was just a worrywart, as they say. And Shimon was, you know, chilled out. So Reuven gets his money. He looks for a spot in his backyard. He counts 20 paces. He digs it up. He's looking all around as he's doing this. He's scared his neighbor's going to look. Someone's going to see. He does it in the middle of the night. Make sure no one's going to see. He digs up the big hole. He puts it in there. This is going to be his savings. This is a savings account for when he gets older, retires. And he covers it up. And he goes back into his house. Shimon across town, he does the same thing. He goes outside, he finds a spot, he counts 20 paces, and he says, he doesn't think about it, he just doesn't look. He digs a big hole, he puts the money in, and he goes back into his house. Shimon wasn't worried. Meanwhile, he has a neighbor. The neighbor saw him put all the money in there, and from Shimon, they take all the money out. Next morning, Reuven wakes up. He's such a worry, he's so worried about his money that he goes outside, he's going to dig it up to see if it's there. He made a mistake. He forgot that it was 20 paces from a certain landmark, and he counted 15 paces, and he goes and he digs it up, it's gone. He's distraught. The rest of his life, Reuven is living with this terrible yoke on him that he doesn't have money, and he lost all his money, and someone took it from him. Shimon never looked again. Says he died a happy man. He always was convinced. He sat in his house. He never went to look at it. He always thought, I have money in the backyard. I'm a rich man. I'm a wealthy person. He never thought about it. So even though there was nothing there, he didn't have a dime to his name, but Shimon was happy. And Reuven wasn't happy. The moral is that we have to have a emunah in the Baruch Hashem. We have to have an emunah for ourselves that the Baruch Hashem is going to provide for us. When it comes to other people, we have to try to help other people and can't assume and say, oh, don't worry, the Baruch Hashem is going to help. And Degel Machon Ephraim says, in Kapitel Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it says, Va'aretz la'simachal tzmisus kili aretz. The land will not be sold in perpetuity because the land is mine. He gave v'seishavim atan imadi. Because gave him strangers, v'seishavim atan imadi. You're together with me. Degel Machon Ephraim explains, says, Meredi Pshat. It says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, Ger Anoichi Baretz, Al Tassim En Mitzvesecha. That I am a stranger, I'm a ger in the land, Al Tassim En Mitzvesecha, don't hide your mitzvahs from me. So Degel Machon Ephraim explains, David HaMelech was telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, I consider myself a ger. He says, you know, you have someone who's traveling in the desert, and he's alone, and he's traveling endlessly, he's traveling all by himself. And finally he finds some, and he sees some. Right away, you know, you go over, you start talking to the person, and if he's the only person around, you become good friends with him, and you're telling him everything, and then sharing everything with him, because you didn't have anything else. You're a Gary, you're looking for some camaraderie. And all of a sudden, you're best friends with him. And my father said, years ago, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went to the Kaisel, and all of a sudden he says, some guy comes over to him, comes running over to him, gives him a big shalom aleichem. He's like his best friend. He's talking to him like, you know, he knows him for years. He says, back in Brooklyn, he saw him every day in shul. The guy didn't say hello to him. Now he felt like he was Barry Kaisel, who was the guy from Brooklyn, and I guess he didn't see anyone else he knew over there. You know, I know him from shul, I know him from there. It's automatically there's some sort of connection, and he starts making like his best friends. The Gemach Nefan says, Rabbeinu Shalom is Ke'en, is Kabayachal, he is a ger in this world. He says, I have no way to rest my Shema. David HaMelech told the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ki gerim, that I'm a ger in this world. I have nothing in this world either. All I want is from the Rabbeinu Shalom. All I want is his mitzvahs. Give me your mitzvahs. Give me everything that you have, the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Pasuk is saying, Ki gerim, if you act like a stranger that says, I'm a ger like the Rabbeinu Shalom, and all I want to be with the Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to be his friend, so to say, then the seishavim, you're going to be a seishav, you're going to be toshav in the olam ha'emes, in the olam ha'ba, then you're going to end up being a toshav. If you're a ger here, you're going to end up being a toshav there. Some sefer says, and it says in the pasuk, im yichu kosei teleichu, v'sam tosei tishmoru v'asisam osam, he says is that im teleichu, that if you go in my ways, and the person tries, and he makes an effort, And he says this, Mitzvah Tishmeru Vasisa Moshe. Then, it's in Mechus Teilechu. If you're going to do it, not the normal way to read it, is in Mechus Teilechu. That's Mitzvah Tishmeru Vasisa Moshe. It's one cohesive thing that if you follow my chukim and my mitzvahs, if you heed, Vasisa Moshe and do them. Then Asati Gishmechem Yitam, then I'm going to give you Gishmechem, I'm going to give you rain, and so on and so forth. Some Sefer says the pasuk is telling you in Mechukai Seteleichu, if you follow in my chukim, if you try to follow me and you want to do the Ratzon Hashem, then I'm making avtocha I'm going to give you the opportunity that you're going to end up doing my mitzvahs and you're going to end up doing it correctly and you're not going to do avirus. So a person tries and makes the effort, not just that he has to do everything perfectly, but he has to show the Rebbeinu Shlom that he wants to do it. If he makes the effort, then the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to do it for him, and he's going to do it. The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to see to it that he does the mitzvahs. The Klal Yoker says, it says when we're talking film seer, "V'safarku l'cha sheva shabsos tamim," that shanim, that we count seer. It says "V'safarku l'cha." Why does the pasuk say "V'safarku l'cha"? So say "V'safarta," you should count. Which means for you, Safarta Lacha. So Klayoka says Safarta Lacha, Sheva Shabbos Shanim Sheva, that they're talking about that it's going to become yours. If a person, he works on it, and he comes, it's during Sfira, and he's counting, and he's doing it to Kudur Ban Shalom, and he's trying to prepare for the Yom Tov Shuas, then it becomes yours. And the Klayoka says it doesn't only apply to Sfira, but it applies to your whole life. If a person tries and does the Avodas Hashem, then when he comes at Shemayim after 120, the years are his. It's not the years that he took from the Ban Shalom Cain and didn't do anything with it, but rather the years are his. And when Chavlula says, in the Rishon, he says, in B'chukai Se Teleichu, he says the word Im, Aleph Mem, is talking about Aleph Mem represents Aaron and Moshe. That's one set. Aleph Mem again is Esther and Mordechai, and Eliyahu and Mashiach. He says is that in B'chukai Sai Teleichu, that this is before, and that before with the Baharj B'chukai Sai, after this it talks about all the Klalos. There's two parashas of Klalos, and this is one of the parashas of the Klalos, parashas of B'chukai Sai and parashas Kisavai. This is a refuah before the Makkah, that he's saying is in B'chukai Sai Teleichu, you saw the Geula with Aaron and Moshe from Mitzrayim, you saw the Geula in times of Haman, Esther and Mordechai. If you do it correctly, B'chukai Sai Teleichu, then you're not going to have to worry about all the Klalos, because then you're going to have Eliyahu and Mashiach, and you're going to be Zeicha to see the Geula. If Ben Ishchai says, when it says in the Pasuk, when you come to the land, it's talking about the mitzvah of Shemitah in the beginning of Parashat Bahar, that I gave to you. Ben Ishchai says, who else gave it to us? Of course, the Ben Ishchai. Why is the pasuk? We understand. You're learning through the Torah. We understand everything from the Ben Ishchai. I mean, he's in control of everything. Pasuk over here stresses, Asher ani, that I, your Ben Ishchai, am giving to you. The Shav Saaretz, and you should rest the land. Shabbos Lashem. What is Shabbos Lashem? He says. So he says that there's a Metzius. It says there's two different types. It says, the next pasuk says, Sheishanim Tizrasa Decha, Sheishanim Tizmar Kamecha. You should work your field for 6 years. You should also do your field, your vineyard. Kamecha is your vineyard. What's the difference between a field and a vineyard? So he explains that a field, to grow a field properly, I don't know the agriculture per se, but the Ben Ishchai tells us that agriculturally, you have a field grow something for 7 years straight. It's not healthy for it. It really needs to stay fallow, it has to stay empty for a year. I don't know exactly what the chesed, but it has to stay fallow. And that produces a better crop. A karmacha, a vineyard, on the other hand, is not the same way. A vineyard you can plant every year and there's nothing wrong with it. That's the mitzvah. So he explains that first of all, the pasuk is saying, "Asher ani noisin lachem," that I am giving to you. It doesn't say "Asher ani nosam lachem." Nosam means that I gave to you. Rather, "Asher ani noisin," I am giving to you in the hoiva, in the present tense. The Rebbeinu Shlom, anything that anyone has, he has a field, he has money, anything that he has, the Rebbeinu Shlom is constantly giving it to you. Every year, Rosh Hashanah, people they daven for, they have $1 million in the bank, and they have health. And they have other good things, and they ask the Rebbeinu Shlom, "I want more. This year I want to have another $1 million, and I want my kids to get married, or whatever else you're asking for." But he says it, but that's not the fact. The fact is, the fact that we had it last year doesn't mean we're going to have it this year. It's irrelevant. Every time, every year, the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving it to us again. We don't feel it. We have to realize it. We might not feel it and say, I already had it in the bank before, and the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give it to me. No, no. If he takes it away from you, you won't have it, and he can easily take it away from you. So that's Asher Ani Noisein Lochem. I am currently, presently giving it to you. What's Asher Ani that I? Saying is that how do you know the person is doing it Lashem? It's Shabbos Lashem. So the fact that a person is doing it the Sada, he leaves this field on the seventh year of Shemitah, he leaves the field fallow, maybe he's doing it because it just makes sense. He's leaving the field during Shemitah year because it's good for the field. The Raya is the Kerem, the vineyard. He says that that's how you make it Shabbos Lashem. If you show Asher Ani Noisein Lochem, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. But how do we know, if I'm looking at somebody, how do I know that he's doing it really for the right purposes? It's because he's doing this Kerem also. The Kerem, the vineyard, he can do every year and it'll be perfectly good. But the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, Shemitah, we don't do it. So that's the Raya, that you're doing it the right way. So maybe we can explain that the reason, the connection between V'leisoinu Ishes HaMisei, why is it mitzvah of Einoas Devarim, of saying something, giving your friend bad advice, or hurting him with words? Why is it over here after Shemitah? Because the Torah wants to tell you is that it's apparent to other people as well, if you do your vineyard as well. So then people know that, oh, see, his vineyard, he didn't plant this year. He's doing his Hashem the Sada also. But the Pasuk is telling you over here, B'yareisim al-kefak in Hashem. You should know that even if someone only has a field and he doesn't have a vineyard, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's in everyone's hearts. So the point is that a person who's going to keep Shemitah, Shitaka, keep Shemitah for the right reason. Not because, oh, it's good for me. But rather, a person should keep Shemitah because that's the Ratzon Hashem. Capital Chafei, Pasuk Yudches, Parshas Bahar, Pasuk says, V'asisim es chukoisai ves mishpatai tishmu v'asisim oisam. V'yishavtem alaz betach. It says, you should do your chukim ves mishpatai tishmu, you should heed, v'asisim oisam. We have in the beginning of Parashat B'chukosai, B'chukosai teilechu, V'asmitzmoisai tishmoyu v'asisimoisam. It seems that by the word B'chukosai, chayk is something that we don't know the reasons for. And the mishpat and mitzvahs parashas are something that we do know. So by mitzvoisai, Tal says tishmu, you should do it. By chukim it says teilechu, the lashon of teilechu. What's the difference between a chayk and a mishpat that was using the word teilechu, that you should follow in, and mitzvoisai they were saying is tishmu, you should heed it. What's the difference? The Mishnah says that the malachim are called oimdim. They're standing. An adam, a man, could be a holach, someone that's going. Why? A malach understands everything the Baruch Hashem is doing. The Baruch Hashem created a world that the malach knows. So the Malach doesn't have a choice, he doesn't have a bravery to follow the Baruch Shalom. He understands everything, he sees everything, the Baruch Shalom tells him to do it, he does it. He can never raise his level. Malach is a high level of Kedusha, but he can't raise his level. He stays where he is, he knows what he has to do, he knows everything the Baruch Shalom wants him to do, and that's it, it's the end of story. A person is a Holach, because a person, he said, doesn't understand everything the Baruch Shalom wants him to do, he doesn't know the reasons for the mitzvahs per se. And therefore, a person can holach, he can raise his level in ruchnis, he become more kodesh, he's called a holach. The Chazal tells us. The Mishnah Ayishit explains that the reason over here it says is, b'chukaisai teilechu, v'asmismayishai tishmeru. So tishmeru, v'asmismayishai tishmeru, it says is that, a chayk is something we don't understand. If we don't understand it, then we're not on the level of the malach in that sense, and we're not an oimid. So we're teilechu, we're a holach. We can move up, we can advance. On a mishpat, the sign that we understand. We understand that you're not supposed to steal from your friend. We understand that you're not supposed to kill. We understand these things. He said, that's the lower level. That doesn't give you as much godless to grow being a chaylech. He says, there you should heed tishmu, watch it. You should heed it. Make sure, in other words, stay where you are. Be an aimit. As opposed to the chukaisai, the things that we don't understand. Why are we doing this? Banishan told us, we have no idea why, doesn't that paraduma, the quintessential chayk, we don't understand why we're doing it, but we do it. He says that makes a person a holach, and that's what it says, teilechu, that's going to make a person into a holach. A little later, the Pasuk says, when we talk about Shemitah, the Pasuk says, very interesting, Nosna arat piria, v'achaltem l'sayva, v'shachtem l'betachala. It's a pella. I mean, it's a simple question. The pasuk doesn't talk like this. It's not a piece of Gemara. We're reading a pasuk in the Torah. If you how can I keep Shemitah? What am I going to eat in the 7th year? Hey, the Torah answers you. You should know. Don't worry. And the 6th year, you're going to have enough for 3 years. You'll have enough for the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th until you can replant again. Since when this the Torah doesn't talk like this, the question of Torah is if you're going to ask, what's the Shah? So the Shah is Chazal. I've heard this numerous times, partial Torah, that the Rebbeinu Shalom can make a person satiated with a little, or he can make a person satiated with a lot. So if you don't ask, if you're on the higher Madrega of not asking, you don't ask. Rebbeinu Shalom told you, keep Shemitah. You don't say, one second, Rebbeinu Shalom, how am I going to live? If you don't ask that question, then you'll be able to do your fields and harvest your fields the same way you do every other year, and that will sustain you. Maybe normally you need to eat, I don't know, 5 pieces of bread. The Rebbeinu Shalom make it that you'll be fully satiated with 1 piece of bread. So you won't have to work the 7th and the 8th year, the 6th, 7th, and 8th year. You won't have to work anyways, but you won't have to work harder. The pasuk is saying is, but if you're not on that level, on your lower level of emuna, and you ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm willing to do it. I'm ready to do it. But 1 second. But practically speaking, how am I going to do it? I'm going to ask, what am I going to eat in the 7th year? The Torah says, then I'm going to make you work for it. The Torah is saying is, then Ritzivi says, you're going to have to work 3 times as hard in the 6th year, and I'll make it still that you'll have enough food, but then you're going to have to work harder for it. Avraham Avinu, some Sefer asks the question. He says, is that Avraham Avinu, he went to, you know, 10 Nisyanos. It says, Akedas Yitzchak was the biggest one. We know, we talk about it in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Akedas Yitzchak was a tremendous chutz for Klal Yisrael. Some Sefer says, what's the great chutz? We know that it was his only child. Avraham had 1 child, Yitzchak Avinu, from here. 2, Ishmael, but this was, he called his child from Sarimenu. Rebbeinu Shalom gave him this child when he was 100 years old. His wife was 90. Everything the Rebbeinu Shalom told him to do to leave, he got rich. Everything the Rebbeinu Shalom, wherever the Rebbeinu Shalom, he got saved from Nimrod in the fire. I mean, we can't understand these, but some say if it says he doesn't see the bigness of him. You know, for a normal person, yes. I remember being sure that everything the Rebbeinu Shalom did was good. Keep it, but some say if it says it, but you know what Avraham Avinu did? You know what his test was? If he was going to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom told him, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. That Yitzchak is going to be the one that's going to be killed your children. That's going to be the Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu didn't even ask the question. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, go to Akedas Yitzchak. He didn't say 1 second. Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm ready to do it. I'm going to listen to everything you say. But can you please explain to me what I mean? He told me that Yitzchak is going to be, if I'm going to kill him, then it's not going to happen. He didn't even ask that question. That was the gamblus of that was the test. The Nisayon was that of course he was going to do it. That wasn't the question. That wasn't his test. His test was he going to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom? But can I just ask your side question? The Ovid Ayo quotes a Zohar. It says that there happens to be that by the Akedah that he went to do and is ready to do, that Yitzchak died and there was a new neshama that came into Yitzchak. The initial neshama, the original neshama that Yitzchak had, could not have children. It was the new neshama, if I cared, because he was ready to do that Kedesh Yitzchak. The question is, Rebbeinu Shalom, why did you ask me to do it? Because Yitzchak needed to get a new neshama. When Yitzchak got a new neshama, it was with that new neshama that he was actually able to have children and have Yaakov Avinu, and that's what Klal Yisrael came from. So we can explain that when we say that. Maybe we could say, if I catch from the Rishon Eishes over here, and it says in Bukhosei Teleichu, Vesmismoisei Tishmoru Vasisimoisom, is that there's 2 different types of emunah. There's the higher level of emunah where we don't ask any questions, and then there's the lower level of emunah. He says, but in Bukhosei Teleichu, if you're gonna follow in the chukim, so the chukim, we know that we don't understand anything. We don't understand chukim. We understand that. But if we're going to follow the Mishpatim, and we're not going to ask questions, we're going to say, the Rebbeinu Shalom says that we know even Mishpatim, which we understand in theory, but let's assume we know there was a famous story a couple years ago with Shriver, that, you know, should they kill someone? Let's assume someone, Terry said don't kill. So we all understand to go take a gun and kill someone is a bad thing. But what about if someone is in terrible pain, and the person is begging to be killed? Can we kill the person? So that's what the Torah is telling you. That's a higher level. You should heed that and watch it, and don't make your cheshbonos. Don't ask questions. Don't sit there and say, "Well, maybe I understand why I shouldn't kill, but over here I think I should kill, or I understand why I shouldn't steal. Over here I understand." Tishmu, you have to heed that. You have to watch that. Don't just follow it. You have to follow it without asking questions. So you should know that everything that Baruch Shalom says is that's what it is. Not say, "Well, over here the Baruch Shalom maybe wants me to kill." Torah says it. You have to follow. Have a good chance.